What a grab, and out of bounds inside the 10 at the 3. Flag is down, returned by Austin. Plenty of room, great return, still rolling. Austin into the end zone, touchdown. Extra men on the rush, floated, downfield, and caught. Touchdown, Austin. Second touchdown of the night. Third and 7. Pressure off the edge, Watt returns the favor. Pressure, passes high, and intercepted by Beanie Bishop.
Thank you, City Limits, for that wonderful opening. Beanie Crowley with another interception. How about that? Adam Bishop, unbelievable, this guy. He's a closer. Send him to the Pirates, Limits. Courtesy of ESPN on all those calls, and I'm ready to dive in on this. I am ready to dive in on this with you. Off the Top, presented by JP Roofing and Siding. Brian Batko going to join me later in the show. I will first inquire as to your well-being, City Limits, because I wouldn't think of starting the show otherwise. How are you?
Joe, I am wonderful. Good. It was great to witness that game yesterday, and I'm feeling good on a Victory Tuesday.
Here's my opening take, my opening salvo. Oh, limitless wonder. I would have come in here if Daniel Jones takes the Giants to a score there. Let's say they had gotten the two-point conversion on that idiotic play that they ran. And let's say that they win then on a two-point conversion. I still would have come in here ready to face all kinds of criticism on social media, on the calls and texts. Yes, I would have. And my opening take would have been, the Steelers finally have a quarterback. They finally have an offense. They can go out and match other teams. This is only going to get better. It's only going to get better. There's adults in the room. There's no more Kenny Pickett. There's no more Matt Canada. There's adults in the room. Russell Wilson has been there and done that many times, including, contrary to popular belief, just last season in Denver with a coach who hated him. Arthur Smith has come in here and lent a professionalism to the offense. The touchdown throw to Austin yesterday, Troy Aikman said, that's an easy pitch and catch. I don't think I ever heard that phrase with Matt Canada as the offensive coordinator. That's an easy pitch and catch. Let's go back in time, and we're going to talk about the defense. The defense stunk last night, made some splash plays, got lucky, got pushed around by the freaking Giants. I don't care about that right now. What I care about is that we're finally seeing a mature passing game, a passing game that might just be able to go up against the Burrows if they ever face him, the Jacksons, the Mahomes, the Strouds, the Josh Allens of the world, and if it's a 34-31 game, win the game. They're able to engineer victory more fluidly, which is what Mike Tomlin has wanted. It's what good teams have. You're just rearranging deck chairs if you don't have a passing game in the NFL. So let's go back and relive the nightmare for a moment. This is courtesy of Steelers Depot from November of last year, late November. So the stats aren't complete, but they're mighty ugly. Let us all together take a moment and remember what life was like under the Matt Canada regime. 2023, per drive basis, 31st in time of possession, 31st in plays, 30th in yards, 29th in points, and 30th in first downs, and 31st in passing yards. Points, and this was as of late November, I don't know, maybe before Mason Rudolph faced the broken Bengals and a crappy Seattle defense. I don't remember. I don't care. At this point in time, the Steelers hadn't scored 30 points in a win in 51 games the NFL's longest streak. They never achieved it under Canada. Think about that. At this time, it had been more than 1 year since the Steelers scored 30 points in a game, regardless of the outcome. They had only 16 games with 21-plus points, 30th in football. Their opening drives were sickening. The Steelers never had a 400 game under Matt Canada. Never. They never did. Again, as of late November of last year, this was true. Since 2021, the Steelers have scored on just 13 opening possession drives, 26th in the NFL. Only 8 resulted in touchdowns. That's 21st in the NFL. Their 26 punts on opening possessions are 31st in football in that time span. Only the Jets had more at 29. I could go on. Let's just take a moment of silence and remember, Little Limits, where we were. How about a moment of silence for what it actually was like? At any time there's trauma in life, it's our natural reaction to just bury it forever and pretend it never happened. You, as a Steeler fan, were traumatized under the Matt Canada offense. You were traumatized. That was one of the most sickening offenses I've ever seen anywhere in football, let alone here. So a moment of silence. Let's do that. 3 seconds. Here we go. Now look at what you have. Look at what you have. With Justin Fields, it was okay. You know, I thought it was maybe a high-class Kenny Pickett offense with a ceiling. With a ceiling. For sure. And I'm telling you that I would have come in today if the Steelers had lost late last night and still led with they have a quarterback and an offense. Let's go back to the opening drive where you saw things like creativity, diversity in their formations. You saw a little bit of hurry up. That's the sign of an offense that's on the same page, that knows what it's doing, that's being directed by a veteran leader, a veteran winner. Play one, you line up behind center. Play action right away, you roll out. Wide open, Calvin Austin. Oh my God, the Steelers schemed somebody wide open. It's a miracle. Arthur Smith can do that. Play two, again behind center, a power run to Najee 5 yards. Play three. Suddenly you're in the shotgun with four receivers. Little pitch and catch to Van Jefferson, just short of the first down. Troy Aikman says, here we go, a little up-tempo from the Steelers. Oh my God, it's an offense that's moving, that knows what it's doing, that's scheming people open. What is this? Still no huddle. They go shotgun. Play four. Najee busts it for 10 yards. They double team Dexter Lawrence and actually block him. Play five from the Giants 39. Back behind center. Najee makes a great run, a beautiful spin move. Van Jefferson with a great block. Play six, back into the shotgun. Four receivers. Easy throw to Freiermuth, but the Giants called timeout. The Steelers forced another team, and a team with an okay defense, to call timeout. They had them on their heels. That literally never happened under Matt Canada. Never. Not once. Okay, we'll do play six again. Shotgun. Two tight ends now. Not spread out. We got two tight ends basically on the line to the right, which is where there's a quick pitch to Jaylen Warren, who looks like himself again and butts it. Play seven. Back behind center. I formation with Cameron Hayward acting as a de facto fullback. Jaylen Warren, little short gain to the left. Play eight. Shotgun. Back to the shotgun. Rolls right. A wide open George Pickens and a touchdown. Great drive to start the night, they say. on television, but unfortunately, Broderick Jones happened. So, you know, that killed the drive. That is an unbelievable drive right there. You know, whatever happened at the end happened. He held the guy's face mask. It was a legit call. I think Russell Wilson was already outside, was going to make that play. He was around the corner, was going to make that throw no matter what. Point being, it was a beautifully designed play that wasn't aided by that blatant face mask. Then at second and 24, you get a field goal. As far as I'm concerned, that's an unbelievable touchdown drive. If I'm analyzing the game and analyzing that offense, unbelievable what they had there. And by the way, the last play of the drive, I was watching the Manning cast going back and forth. Lawrence Taylor was on there. Did you see that? Limits smoking a cigar.
No, I was at the game.
Unbelievable. Oh, my God. We're going to get your perspective on that in a moment. It's third and forever. And Peyton says, I've seen a lot of quarterbacks, a lot of offenses in this situation. You try to force it. You know, you're just down there. You want this to be a touchdown drive. He said before the play, something to the effect of just check it down, get points on your opening drive. That's what he did. That's what the veteran quarterback did. Okay. May I go into the second drive, Wonder Twin?
You may.
Thank you. Second drive, go behind Najee. Then you're behind center, play action. Beautiful rollout, throw to Mount Washington. Where did he come from? Why is he now a part of the offense? Well, because you have an actual quarterback who can throw and who can identify things, and an offensive coordinator, 29 yards to Mount Washington. I kept hearing from everybody on here, including Kabali. Oh, he's not going to be part of this offense, part of this passing game. No, he's not. He can't get down the field. Yes, he can in a real offense. Then you go back behind center. I formation. Najee busts out another huge run. They're back in the red zone in a flash. I don't remember the last Steelers offense that on his first two drives of the game, it was one explosive play after another. And it seemed like they were in the red zone inside the 10 on this occasion in a matter of seconds. That's what other offenses do. That's the way the rest of the world lives. Every time we'd watch the Steelers, it would be like, oh my God, they've got receivers, the other team, running wide open down the middle of the field. They're scheming people open. We're off balance. That can happen for the Steelers too, and it is. Okay, you're first and goal at the 9. Shotgun handoff, first down. And then should have been another touchdown. Russell rolls right again. And all Van Jefferson needs to do is stop or sit, as they say. And it's a touchdown. And that's according to Aikman. It's according to the Manning cast. It's according to Trey Essex, who tweeted it out. Tomlin freaked out for a minute on the sidelines. So again, in my analysis, those are two touchdown-worthy drives. You could say they failed in the red zone. They didn't convert in the red zone, and that's true. That's a fact, but it's not the real story to me anyway, to me. Because what I see there is also the potential moving forward of suddenly having an offense that can fool people, that can brutalize people, that can identify things, that can go fast and slow and shotgun and behind center and play action and short and deep. That's what you want. It's what you've always wanted. You haven't seen it since practically prime Ben. 17 plays last night. At one point, I lost count in the fourth quarter, or the TV did. I don't remember if they had one or two more. 17 plays of 10 yards or more. Unbelievable throws as the game went on from Russell Wilson. The one to Pickett in the end zone, the old My Left Foot. Do you remember that movie, Limits? It
No.
might have been My Right Foot. What is it? Was it his left foot or right foot that he tapped twice?
It was the right foot.
Okay. Then it was My Right Foot. That's the sequel, starring George Pickens. Unbelievable throw. That's lost in that story. Because of that rule and who drew it up and how it does or doesn't make sense. Wilson got hit on the throw and lofted it to the back of the end zone perfectly. Perfectly. Nobody around here makes that throw since Ben. Nobody. Then we had the throw to Pickens down the left sideline that not a lot of people in the league make. That ball was released from his own 40. and went about 44 yards in the air over two defenders right at the boundary. That was crazy. So we have a lot of things to talk about today, but from this vantage point, front and center, and topic number one by a trillion miles is that the Steelers have a quarterback and an offense. Welcome aboard, guys. Welcome aboard. This is how the rest of the NFL lives. Limits?
You know, the one thing that came to mind for me, especially as they made their way into the second half and just watching more and more of Russell Wilson put an offense together in person, the main thing that came to mind for me is that it's a very professional offense. There are multiple different things that they can do and that they can do well. And you touched on it with play action off the first play. That's something that I went, whoa, like right away compared to the Justin Fields offense, the Kenny Pickett offense, anybody outside of Ben, play action is where they're finding some of their most consistent success. And it's something that they just did not do and kind of neglected to do in previous offenses. And it opens up the running game. And Calvin Austin on the punt return too. Special teams, other than Russell Wilson's the guy, they have a quarterback, good offense now. Special teams, they're the best special teams unit in the entirety of football.
No doubt. No doubt. Right now they are.
And that can change games.
But to me, still, the story is the offense and the quarterback. And you mentioned play action. Tomlin poo-pooed it at his Tuesday news conference. We've been over it this week. Russell Wilson, and they talked about it on the Manning Cast with Belichick again last night, what it does for an offense when it's in the hands of a master. And there's an art to it. And Justin Fields, they ran a lot of play action with him too. And he did a fine job in there. He was okay, you know, but he wasn't this in any respect except running. He's a better runner than Wilson. He didn't like to play behind center. Didn't look comfortable playing behind center. That's a big crimp in a potential play action game. I'm sorry, it is. And Russell is so good at it. And they broke it down again. There is absolutely an art to it. Like any other sport. I mentioned to you the other day, who was in here sitting over there? I forget now.
Bob?
Yes, it was Bob just yesterday. How quickly we forget that I saw Bobby Knight at a basketball clinic maybe 6 or 7 years ago. An aging Bobby Knight who said the most underrated aspect of coaching in basketball, the most underrated aspect of the sport itself is fakes. You got to teach it. And they don't work if you don't fake them out. I think that goes without saying. The fake needs to fake the other guys. And not everybody can do it. There's levels to this thing. You remember Sam Young's pump fake limits?
I do. That was the early stages of my pit basketball watching career.
Wrote a whole story about it. Nobody else in the country could do it like that. People tried. His pit team, part of the story was his teammates would try it, and they couldn't. Why? Because they didn't develop it to the point where the defender jumped or was in any way thrown off balance. That's the nuance of the thing. That's when you have mastery of it. They don't call it a fake for nothing. So we can't underestimate what Russell Wilson has done here by unlocking the play action game through his mastery of that art. Again, Peyton Manning, and they showed practice footage of this. He used to have a camera trained on him during practice drills to make sure that right down to every little synapse firing in his body was the same for a handoff and when he was going to pull it and throw. The exact same. And him and Eli and Belichick all talked about what that does for you on the running game. Freezes guys. Peyton Manning said it's like the quarterback blocking somebody, essentially, with a play action fake. You freeze the backside guy on the edge a lot of times. You freeze the linebackers. You go look, you know, in the shots from above. even for a split second, and people get behind them, or they don't have the jump on the run game that they want. It's unbelievable. I mentioned Guy Montecalvo yesterday. Did I not? City Limits?
You did.
Former Penn State player. Also a longtime coach at Wash High. And he texted me later. He had heard it. So glad to hear you and Pomp were talking about the play action game today. A staple of everything we did for 30 plus years. Remember, there is a reciprocal effect. Not only does it widen and lengthen pass windows, but it makes the run game more effective. When the opponent knows you have that in your repertoire, Montecalvo writes, it slows down the run reads and gap fits in the darn run game. And yeah, he threw in the word darn. I don't know if he swears. He threw in the word darn. Just that fractional hesitation. This is an unbelievable treatise on play action, is it not, Limits?
Wow, there's a whole story there.
Just that fractional hesitation facilitates combo blocking and climbing on the backers. Whether it's scoops, slips, folds, team combos, or whatever, it enhances effectiveness. Just thrilled to see it back. You know who's not thrilled to see it back? Opposing defenses. It's a huge deal. And even if the Steelers had lost last night late, I would have come in here and my first story, my first take would have been, you people finally have a quarterback. There's finally a quarterback in town and an offensive coordinator. And that makes the Steelers radically different from recent versions of themselves. Notably last year. They lose this game last year, the way they lost to. It's the Trubisky train.
There was no doubt about it.
Broncos country. Let's ride.
Yeah, baby.
Need a new train.
They lost to Arizona and New England on back-to-back weeks. They lose this game. It's as simple as that. So when I project ahead, man, the defense right now is disappointing. It really is. I don't care what the numbers say. But you have an offense, and that can make up for a lot of things. Having explosion in your offensive game. One of the things it can make up for is shoddy defense, which the Steelers played for a lot of last night. So I'm actually feeling very good about this morning. Very, very good. Your thoughts at 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, providing trusted plumbing and HVAC service for over 50 years. And you can always weigh in to our dear friend Cities on the Edgar Snyder & Associates text line, a personal injury law firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Your thoughts on this quarterback, this offense, the throw to Pickens down the sidelines. Do you know what kind of worlds... What kinds of worlds that unlocks for the Steelers? They've basically been prisoners of their own offense for multiple years now. I even go back to the end of the year they started 11-0 or whatever it was. Washington, in that horrifying Monday evening game, unmasked the Steelers' offense that night as a no-run, no intermediate or deep pass offense. It was simply the old Randy Fichtner throw short, run long. Or as it became by the end of the year, run short, or throw short offense. That offense had no diversity to it at all. This looks like the Steelers' best offense in a long time, and Russell Wilson and Arthur Smith have unlocked that. I'm sure a lot of you think I'm overreacting. I'm not. 412-928-9370, or tell me how I am. 928-9370. Our six-pack brought to you by Bet365. A couple of the heroes from last night. We'll talk about them next, and then later, top of the hour, get into some of the concerns moving forward as the schedule stiffens, and it is about to do that in a big way. Welcome back to a world with a quarterback and a passing game. It's a nice world to live in. It's a world where anything is possible. My friend Limits would be the first to tell you that you're limited when you don't have that. Really, you don't have any real aspirations of a championship. Mike Tomlin may have been the last guy on earth to realize that his style of play these last, you know, multitude of years was not going to result in anything long term. But at least he finally realized, and we've said many times, I have on this show, that Mike Tomlin put forth a radical new philosophy upon the firing of Matt Canada last year. Up to that point, it had always been when they went ugly, which is all they ever did, and they barely won more than they lost, by the way. That's sort of the misconception out there. When you're going 8-7-1, 9-8, you know, even 10-7, you're scraping by on ugly games, you're scraping into the playoffs. You might get in, you might not. If you do get in, you're going to get hammered in the first round by a good quarterback, all that. To me, that isn't especially commendable or doable if your intent is winning a championship. So upon the firing of Canada last year, Tomlin, for the first time in his 17-year tenure, admitted that just winning that way wasn't enough. The Steelers were 6-4. When Canada was fired, they were 6-4. They were winning. They were trending toward a normal Steelers season. And he said, winning's not enough. We need to engineer victory more fluidly, and points do that. That was the first break in Tomlin's longstanding philosophy of winning is our business. He'll still say that from time to time. Winning is our business. We're not into style points, but you're into points. And you're right, you needed to engineer victory more fluidly. His next big step in that direction came with this quarterback change. Actually, quite similar circumstances. Two games over 500. Last year, it was 6-4 when they made a radical change. This year, it was 4-2. They're winning with Justin Fields. It's not that bad. No, Tomlin said explicitly, I want to go from good to great. And he actually has now said it out loud to Jay Glazer. This is via Jay Glazer. I think it was this past week where he said that winning isn't enough. It's not about winning is my business. We're not into style points. That's gone. He may say it as an empty phrase from time to time. His philosophy, thank God, has shifted. The whole rest of the town practically realized that this type of football was not sustainable over the course of a season with the aim toward winning a championship. It was always going to end. He told Jay Glazer in his rationale for the quarterback change, and this is a quote, this is Glazer reporting Tomlin's words, quote, I'm not trying to win games. I'm trying to win a world title here. That is not the Mike Tomlin that I have heard. I'm not trying to win games. I'm not, you know, the word just should be in parentheses here. I'm not just trying to win games. I'm trying to win a championship. I'm trying to go from good to great. Just winning isn't enough. Just being a couple games over 500 isn't enough. We need a real offense around here. And he really failed miserably. The greatest mistake of his career was Matt Canada with Kenny Pickett not far behind. Those were two grave mistakes that wasted a couple of years of some great defensive players' careers because they had no chance. He chose Kenny Pickett in the draft. That's his guy, his choice. He was wrong. Dead wrong. He chose Matt Canada, doubled down and tripled down on the guy. But what are you going to do about that now? That's all gone now. All we can do now, my friend, is watch Russ cook. So Tomlin may have realized it late, but at least he realized it. A lot of other coaches, it would have cost them their jobs. Let's be honest about that. Right? You sort of wrap your fate around Kenny Pickett and Matt Canada. And And if that fails like it did, you're done in a lot of places. Credit to Tomlin that he saw the light here. Made a really good hire, it would appear, in Arthur Smith. Not a totally popular hire, but man, as I watch this offense, a really good hire by Mike Tomlin. And you best believe it was Mike Tomlin that went out and handpicked Russell Wilson. So good on Tomlin here. Because now you have a guy, not one of the guys in the league. You know, there's Josh Allen, there's Patrick Mahomes, there's CJ Stroud, there's Burrow. There's a few others that I'm not mentioning because I'm forgetting them. And then there's Russ. I would put him right now in that second category. However that shapes up. And that gives you a chance to win, man. That gives you a chance to win.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride. How did you not get in on that, Limits?
Now, Sean Myers was in on that one. That was recorded in April.
In April?
Yes.
Let's go back to that and just revel in its glory. Let's first identify the people there. It's Donnie Football, followed by Bob, followed by me. And I have to say, even though I probably came in here 3 weeks, 4 weeks ago, and had a similar take on Justin Fields, like they lost to the Colts, but I was very high on Fields because he was spectacular in the second half. That sort of petered out, and I was wrong about that. I was. Justin Fields kind of has turned out to be the Chicago Justin Fields, which is great for a low-level starter or a backup, but he sort of is boom or bust. He really is. He got lucky on a bunch of turnover-worthy plays as well. And I know Russ turned it over once last night. Point being that Russell Wilson gives them an opportunity to go toe-to-toe with those guys that Justin didn't. He just didn't. It's called a passing game. A lot of you may have forgot what that looks like. That's what it's called. On short passes, since Russell Wilson became the starter, this is Pro Football Focus. He's 16 for 21 for 193 yards, 3 touchdowns, and 0 picks. Listen to this number, Twin Cities. Since the fourth series against the Jets game, and that game started horrifically, but the guy hadn't taken a meaningful snap for almost 10 months, right?
Yeah.
So he was something like 2 for 8, 2 for 9, and it was horrifying. We were wondering if he was like late-stage Hines Ward, where he could barely walk on the field. But then it all changed. Since that moment, since they took over for a field goal drive on their fifth series against the Jets, Russell Wilson is 34 of 49 for 523 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks, and a 124.8 passer rating. What was he last night? 20 for 28, I believe?
Yeah.
Was that the number? Okay. Let's go over some of the ones that didn't connect. A Najee drop. And I know the game changes and you probably don't wind up with the same amount of attempts, but just for this exercise, a Najee drop, and Najee was great, by the way. I'm just saying. A Najee drop makes you 21 for 28. The Pickens play, not getting both feet down. That's 22 for 28 with a touchdown. Van Jefferson not stopping on his route in the end zone, like people who know a lot more about football than I do have said he should have. That's 24 for 28?
23.
23 for 28. Scotty Miller had a 50-50 ball. He threw it up there.
It was a good throw.
That could be 24 of 28. Austin was wide open in the end zone. Giants defender makes a great play. I see five more, or at least four. Forget about that one. That's a great play. Austin was open in the end zone. I think that would have been a touchdown. He could have easily had like a historically great day. He could have been like 24, 25 of 28. For what'd he throw for?
278.
For over 300 yards and 3 touchdowns and like 130 or 40 passer rating. But anyway, God bless me. Before we get to the calls, let's hear again just to set the scene here. Donnie Football. Oh, my whole point there was at least I was right about Russell Wilson.
You were, and you wanted him to start from day one, right? But you, wouldn't you have stuck with Justin Fields going into the Jets game? Like
Justin
Fields, would have?
As we've said and written many times here, had his chance against Dallas on a national stage coming off that second half against Indy. If he is suddenly Justin Fields' like star on that night, I don't know when we see Russell Wilson. And I don't blame Tomlin either for his rationale, which is, and I heard him on Steeler pregame last night. He was great and said, basically, I needed to find out what I have with both these guys. Almost like I owed it to myself and the team. I had to find out. He had to find out if they could go from good to great. But way back when Peter King was on here last year with Ron and I, multiple times late in the season and then at the beginning of the offseason before Peter retired, he said, Russell Wilson, great fit on the Steelers. I can imagine Mike Tomlin bringing him in. Oh, they would never bring in Russell Wilson. The Steelers don't do that. The media establishment said, well, looky now. And I wrote at the time, why not? Why wouldn't you want to upgrade with a winner who's coming off a really good season in a place where the coach hated him and the organization was working against him and wanted him out? He still beat five consecutive playoff teams and threw like 9 touchdowns and no picks in those games, including Kansas City, which Denver never beats Kansas City. 26 touchdowns, 8 picks, 20-1 in the red zone. Damn right bring that guy in here. And here he is. But to set the scene for the calls limits, let's go to, again, Donnie Football, Bob Pompeiani, and myself cooking with Russ right when they signed him, I believe.
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
Oh, boy. Steeler Nation, let's ride. Who wins their limits?
What about Sean Myers?
Steelers Nation, let's ride.
Ooh, very subtle. So who wins that? Who had the best one?
I think Bob, honest.
Yeah.
I think Bob did because it was unorthodox. Let's ride with me, baby.
Why does Bob always get the prize? I put a lot of passion into it. Same thing with the Malzi song.
Steelers Nation, ride with me, baby.
That's why, because Bob is he's a born showman. He knows what to do in those situations. He's a theater guy, basically.
That's why he's on TV.
Let's hit the lines, shall we?
Let's begin with Randy in North Carolina.
Hey, Randy.
Hey, good morning, guys. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yeah, Joe, you're spot on, bro, with Wilson. You know, you're not overstating anything. And when you talked about his background in Denver and doing the things he did with his starting 11, I called last week and talked about this, was the worst in the NFL. He did not have a consistent starting 11, and he did it under those circumstances. He comes in with Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator, and we talked about the play action. And Guy Montecavo talking to you, he was Cannon Mack's AD before he retired.
Yes.
Yeah, and so my son was in school then. But anyway, it's another player. It's a block. It's an additional blocker.
Yes, Peyton Manning said.
Yes, yes. All this stuff is just coming to light. Now, we talk about our schedule. Everyone's talking about how weak it is. Now, this was said at the beginning of the season. You know, we're going to hurt because of the way the schedule is and the conference games at the end of the year. I think it's just the opposite right now. Bringing in 2 new quarterbacks, trying to gel this team, gives us a chance to see what we got. Right. So right now we've gone through that. This basically is our preseason. We come out 6-2 going into the hardest part of the season. I'll use the Tomlinism rubber meets the road. And that's what's going to count. And I think Russell Wilson, with his experience and his veteran leadership, he did not get rattled after that fumble. I didn't know if anyone noticed. He was still calm,
yes,
cool, and collected. So I did have one question, though, for you. We're still looking for that number 2 receiver. Do you see a chance at all of us picking up Cup?
It's funny you should say that, and I appreciate the call because I was just going to throw that out there at the top of the hour. With everything that happened last night, Calvin Austin, Van Jefferson playing star roles, do we still think the Steelers need another receiver? Patrick Peterson was on our station and had a recommendation. I'm going to play that for you in the 11 o'clock hour. But let's get back to the lines for a few more here. Oh, limitless wonder. He said something important that now I've forgotten about. So just go to the lines.
Here's Troy on the mount.
What's up, Troy?
Joe, what's going on? What a beautiful afternoon in Pittsburgh.
What mount are you on? Mount Washington?
Yeah, Mount Washington.
You ever been to Skookum Field up there? It's legendary.
I have not, but I love seeing Mount Washington really get the ball this year and getting down the sidelines. He has been a change in our offense that
Hasn't
we did
he?
Not expect to see.
Yes, he can play, and he's a really good blocker. He was a great draft pick.
Yeah, I mean, all of our drafts the past couple of years are really panning out, looking good. We crept into the top 10 of the NFL power rankings, but just a couple of things I want to touch on. Guys, I don't think we really understand what it's like to have two explosive backs. Jaylen Warren has been out to start the year, and he has caught so many swing passes on third down or second down and long that have got us first downs.
Yes.
And Najee is playing with an energy that he has yet to play with in Pittsburgh. I think that's really opening up our team. And that first play, that play action was just so beautiful. Without Broderick, who has been the biggest disappointment for the Steelers this year, without his face mask, I would have to say that's the best drive I've seen in almost 10 years.
I know.
In fluidity and going down the field. I'm sitting in the stadium last night, and I'm watching it, and I'm like, who is this?
Exactly.
Who are we
exactly.
watching go down the field right now?
That's the same feeling that I had. Same feeling I had. What team is this? That's why I opened today by going over every play on that drive. Shotgun, behind center, two tight ends on the line, empty with four receivers, play action, power run, down the field, roll out. It's up-tempo. I mean, it was great. And I wasn't all that high on the Arthur Smith hiring, but I sure am now. I sure am now. Could change. And I would disagree with one thing there. I don't think Najee is running with a new energy.
I think
that is an insult to Najee. The guy was the angry runner of the year last year. The guy has run with the type of manic energy his whole career that I haven't seen out of too many people. What he didn't run with before was a lot of, in some instances, vision, decisiveness, and confidence. That's what I'm seeing. It would have been impossible for Najee Harris to run with more energy than he ran with in his first 3 years in the NFL. I think that's ludicrous.
No, I disagree. I entirely see him running as a man who is, I've called it a pissed off runner this year. He looks like a guy.
What did you see last year in Seattle in games like that when he was running people over? And he's always run with a manic energy.
Yeah, but he's always had moments and he's had games. This is a consistent, other than, what would you say, the Colts game? Maybe is the only one that's outside of that. Like, when you look at Dallas, Vegas, and this game last night, he is running as what I think more of a downhill runner, finding the gaps a little bit better. The vision is better.
Isn't that a function of the offense, too? When
sure,
we say
I'm sure
he's
that
a downhill
him,
runner, he doesn't have 18 guys on him in the backfield. I've often said with Najee, if there was a stat, and God knows there's a stat for everything, of helmets you're hit by on a play, like hats on a running back. He had more hats on him than any running back I've ever seen in my life. So maybe it's not energy or vision or anything else. Maybe for him, too, it's working in an offense where they have to respect the pass game down the field. They have to respect a play action game, which freezes linebackers, and he's actually getting space to run. Maybe we're all wrong. Maybe the guy's just getting space to run in an adult offense.
I don't think he has ever had three consecutive 100-yard rushing games in his career.
No, I'm just not sure that speaks to increased energy on his part. Because, again, I've never seen a guy run as hard as he does for his first 3 years. You can't run more than 100%. You can't. You have 100% to give. That's how much he's given. Now he's got space to actually use it in. That's what I see anyway. Reasonable minds can agree to disagree,
well,
and I would never accuse you of not having a reasonable mind.
I'm not disputing that the effort isn't there, that it wasn't there in previous years. Now, I think it might be a little extra effort to prove something this year, because of the option, because of also the offense being able to work more in his favor the last couple of weeks because of Russell Wilson. Like, Arthur Smith has opened it up compared to Justin Fields. I don't think that there's any doubt about that.
Yeah, I just think that it would have been physically, humanly impossible for Najee Harris to run with any more effort than he ran with in his first 3 years. But again, we can agree to disagree. He's the most effortful runner I think I've ever seen. I mean, it's insane. He just won't go down, and that's no different than it was last year.
Yeah, but don't you feel like there's an even, if you're going at 100% like he always does, you can go 110 if you're trying to prove something else?
No, I don't. I think that's a fallacy. I think 100% is all you can give.
We will disagree. Agree to disagree.
Okay. 412-928-9370. It's a very interesting question what they should do with Najee moving forward, and what should they do about receiver? Are you satisfied now that they don't need one? Or should they go on the market before November 5th and make sure they still get one? Patrick Peterson was on with the afternoon guys and had a recommendation. I'll tell you what it was. Next, 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Jeep Dodge, Route 19, Peters Township, celebrating 50 years in the South Hills. And by the way, that's a different question than, does Najee have extra incentive this year? Absolutely. He's trying to get a new contract, but that doesn't mean he's running any harder, because that would be impossible. He simply has more room to run in a real offense. People have to respect the pass.